Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Fiersforum first quarter 2012 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of Fiersforum. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and welcome to everybody to the Fiersforum quarter one results. I will make some introductory comments on revenues and sales in the different markets. I will touch base on research and development, and finally, I will discuss briefly the Nordhaiag acquisition. Then, Mr. De Angelis, our CFO, will take you through the financial results. Let's start with the revenues. Revenues for quarter one were 105 million euros, down 6.8% at constant exchange rate compared to Q1 last year, but in line with revenues of Q3 and Q4 of 2011. Let me first remind you that quarter one to 11 revenues were affected by three elements that make the comparison with 2012 quite difficult. First one is due to the Roche withdrawal of vitamin D in late 2010. In the first half of 2011, in fact, we did benefit from an inflow of vitamin D tests coming from Roche customers, especially in certain geographies, mainly France, Germany, and Australia. This effect was stopped in Q3 2011 when Roche re-entered the market. Second effect is related to the U.S. In the U.S., vitamin D testing, as we have discussed in the last conference calls, peaked in the first half of the year to then sharply decrease in Q3. If you remember, we discussed a decrease in volume of 18% between Q2 and Q3, and then the volume did settle thereafter, and we continue to see in quarter one volume in the U.S., which is in line with the quarter three and the quarter four numbers that we have reported. Last, in Brazil, Fiersforum was awarded in 2011 a large tender in São Paulo that was completed in quarter three 2011. So these sales are missing in Q1 2012. Fiersforum was again awarded with the tender, and shipments will start in quarter two. So these couple of quarters of lack of sales in Brazil do affect our results in South America. Let's now review sales by major product line, and let's start with vitamin D. Vitamin D continues the trend already seen in quarter three and quarter four, especially in the U.S., where price continues to erode around 20%, and this is an effect of renegotiating contracts that we had to do because certain customers were threatened by competition, as we have discussed in the last calls. In Australia, vitamin D is down almost 40% as an effect of the renewal of a strategic agreement with the Sonic Group. I remind you that the Sonic Group is a very large laboratory chain. It is headquartered in Australia, and it is expanding very rapidly in Europe and especially in the U.S. So even if we had to agree to a substantial reposition of price with Sonic, we secured vitamin D business until December of 2015, and we opened the door to other products in this fast-growing laboratory chain with positive effects on revenue that we will see starting from Q3 in 2012. So the vitamin D contract allowed us to enter into strategic discussion with Sonic for other products that will be run in the lab with the Liaison Excel platform. In Europe, say from the Roche re-entering the market, an effect that we have discussed before, the overall vitamin D business is stable. Now, if you look at our vitamin D franchise worldwide as an effect of these three elements that we have discussed, overall vitamin D is down 13% versus quarter one last year. Let's now discuss the other CLIA products, X vitamin D. The remaining CLIA products are growing 6.7% at constant exchange rate. Again, we need to analyze this trend to understand how the business is performing. In Europe, the X vitamin D lines are up 4% as an effect of a strong growth given by the Excel introduction, and we will discuss later placement. And on the other side, a decrease of testing volume in countries like Italy, France, and Spain. This decrease in testing volume, we see it across different product lines and is mainly related to the difficult financial situation that certain southern European countries are living these days. In all other geographies, X vitamin D clear is growing double digit with a peak of almost 50% growth in China. Last, let me comment on Murex. Murex is growing 8.6% versus last year, having Diasori now learn the blood bank business. So this line that last year in the first couple of quarters has absorbed a lot of resources from the group to transfer the business from Abbott is now providing the growth that we strategically expected this to give to our group. Finally, let's discuss about the Liaison placements. We placed 150 Liaison and Liaison Excel systems worldwide, 92 Excels and 58 Liaison. The 92 Excels were mainly placed in Europe. And this shows a very positive trend in instrument installation. And so we are in line with the guidance that we provided to reach between 500 and 600 system placements in 2012. Just as a comment, the Liaison today is only placed in emerging markets, and the bulk of the placements today is coming from China. Let me just make now some remarks on research and development. As explained during the presentation of our long-term plan, Diasorin's future growth is dependent on our ability to develop and launch new products. In Q1, we launched the H. pylori antigen test, which is the second test belonging to the stool product family that, as you know, is strategic for us. We also launched a product in the infectious disease area. By the end of the year, we plan to introduce 4 more Liaison products and 12 molecular assays. I will then comment on molecular later. Now, let's talk about the recent acquisition, Nordaya. And let me just make a general comment about this space. In order to be a credible player in molecular diagnostics, a company has to control 2 fundamental technologies. First one is a DNA RNA extraction that allows, starting from a biological sample, to obtain the target DNA or RNA molecule. The second one is amplification, that allows to increase the number of target DNAs and then read the result. LAMP, that is the technology that we licensed in 2008, is a very powerful amplification technology, but we were lacking the extraction. NorBiot, a small Norwegian company, has invested 10 years and 30 million euros in the development of their extraction products. The market of extraction is dominated today by companies like Qiagen and Roche, and we do not intend to strategically compete with them. In fact, just optimizing the distribution network of NorDiag, we plan to move up the revenues of NorDiag from the current 4 million to a more respectable figure. But this is not the reason why we bought NorDiag. However, we intend to use the NorDiag technology to develop, along with LAMP, a fully integrated molecular diagnostic platform to be made available to the market within the next 24 months. As we speak, the development and industrialization of the first 12 molecular products is on schedule, and we confirm the launch of the strategic product line in quarter four 2012 on the new platform, which is called Liaison IM, that has been developed by our Japanese partner, Precision Systems. I will now leave the podium to Mr. De Angelis. He is going to comment on financial, and then we will take your questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlo. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In the next few minutes, I'm going to bring you through the numbers of our 2012 first quarter results. In the slide number 20, I would like to drive you through the key elements of the profit and loss statement. In the first quarter of 2012, we registered 1,005.7 million euros of revenues. And Murex contributed for more than 9 million euros with respect to the 8.3 million euros of the first quarter of 2011. Carlo already commented on the tough comparison with the last year extraordinary elements and on the reason underlying the revenues performance. I just want to remind you once again that considering the sequential growth rate of our sales, our business is stabilizing respect to the first quarter and fourth quarter of 2011. As far as margins are concerned, notwithstanding the contraction we faced on vitamin D revenues, we maintain a very high level of profitability, thanks to the high contribution rate of the rest of CLIA products. If we go to gross margin, which amounted to 74.7 million euros, was equal to 70.7% of the total revenues, fairly in line with what we recorded in the first quarter of last year, and slightly improving with respect to the fourth quarter of 2011. The EBIT amount to 37.3 million euro, equal to a marginality in terms of percentage of 35.2%, in line with the first quarter of 2011 and improving respect to the fourth quarter of 2011. As far as the total operating expenses are concerned, the incidence of the total revenue was 35.2 in the first quarter of 2012 from the 30.9 last year, but fairly in line with last quarter level. It is worth mentioning that sales and marketing expenses percentage increase is partly due to an unfavorable comparison with the unusual low level of expansion we recorded last year in the same period, when some planned activity has been postponed to the second half of the year. G&A expenses increased following the reinforcement of the corporate structure of DiaSorin. R&D expenses raised to support the development of the several new tests that we are going to launch in Europe and in the States during this year. In general, it's worth mentioning that in 2012, operating expenses have been significantly affected by a negative exchange effect by 1%, 100 basis points. The EBITDA amounted to 44.1 million euro, equal to 41.8% of the total revenues, from the 44.9% in the first quarter of last year. But once again, pretty much in line with the last two quarters of last year. The group net results was equal to 22.5 million euro as a result of the following elements. 14.7 million of income tax, equal to a tax rate of 39.6, which increased by almost 300 basis points with respect to the first quarter of 2011, mainly because of withholding tax on dividend, which were paid by our United States subsidiary to DiaSorin S.p.A. Lower non-cash financial income related to the measurement at a fair value of forward contracts, €338,000 in Q1 2012 with respect of 1.6 million in the same period of last year. And higher fees on factoring transaction, €544,000 on Q1 2012 with respect of €264,000 over last year. If we go to slide number 21, which is the balance sheet, as we move to this slide, I would like to comment some key elements of our balance sheet. Total assets remain stable as December 31st level, while the net working capital worsened by 5.6 million euro for the following reason: higher inventory for 3.2 million euro, the deterioration of payment performance in some European markets, particularly in Spain and Italy, with the public administration for 5.6 million euro, where the governments are playing austerity policy, and the decrease of 3.5 million euro in accounts payable. Just one last comment on the net financial position, which improved 18.3 million euro, moving from 41.6 million euro at the end of last year up to 59.9 million euro as per March 2012. Now please, if we go to slide 22, moving to the slide 22 and talking about our cash flow structure, I would like to comment the main drivers of the change in cash. During the first quarter of 2012, the group generated 22.3 million euro of cash from operating activities. Slight lower of that one was generated last year in the same period because of deteriorating of net working capital, as we mentioned before. Cash used for investing activity amounted to 6.2 million euro, higher by 2 million euro respect to the last year, because of the enlargement of the installed base, as Carlo was mentioning before. The net cash used in financing activity amounted to 425,000 euro, while in the same period of last year we used 27.9 million euro in financing the buyback plan that took place in January of last year. The net improvement of cash and cash equivalents at the end of the period was 14.2 million euro, bringing the total amount at the end of March 2012 to 80.6 million euro, with respect to the 66.4 million euro of the same period of last year.
Okay, thank you, Gianluigi. As far as the guidelines, At this stage, we confirm the guidance that we provided at the end of last year. So we believe that the revenues will be in line with what we have seen in 2011. The EBITDA margin is going to be decreasing by around a couple of percentage points due to erosion of pricing, as we said, in tightening the area. And as far as the instruments are confirmed, 500 to 600 systems, of which three-quarters should be, 35% should be the Azonic cells, will be placed in 2012. At this point, we are open for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call Conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Romain Zana of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Three, if I may. The first one about the Siemens situation and their recent recall. I was wondering what is your view on this and if you expect a significant or similar impact as what we saw with Roche last year, so any kind of timing for them to solve the issue. Second question on the gross margin, so which was, I would say, rather resilient over the past, in the first quarter, and you mentioned the price erosion as the main reason for the likely decreasing margin for 2012. So I was wondering if you expect any significant worsening gross margin during the course of 2012. And last question on the long-term guidance, so for 2015, the long-term EBITDA margin guidance that you guide for significantly exceed the likely level of 2012. So I was wondering, when do you expect to see the margin stabilizing and then recover to the level targeted for 2015, and what will be the main driver for such a catch-up?
Romain, thank you. I will take the three questions. As far as Siemens is concerned, I would like not to comment on misfortunes of competitors. Just one remark, this is a different situation from what we saw with Roche. Roche, because of continuous quality issues, decided to take off the product from the market, and they left their customers without products for almost 3 quarters. In this case, Siemens has recalled one lot, and they probably are having some manufacturing problems. There are going to be some backorder problems with customers, but this doesn't mean that Siemens is off the market with vitamin D. So the situation is very different. However, it shows one thing. It took the DiaSorin 15 years to set up the perfect quality for a vitamin D test. And keeping pace with growing volumes and growing volume of testing and a different patient population which are tested for vitamin D, it takes a lot of experience, which DiaSorin has, and some of these competitors, even if they are larger than DiaSorin, don't have because they just entered the space. As far as the gross margin is concerned, yes, in fact, you're right, it is resilient because, as I always stated before, our gross margin has been, in my opinion, misunderstood by many people. And let me explain what I mean. 70% of our revenues comes from Clia. And within the Clia family, there is vitamin D, and there are 85 other products. The difference in gross margin contribution between a specialty product like vitamin D and other products is not as big as some of the investors and analysts believe it to be. And for this reason, our gross margin, even if we are adding, clearly we are taking a hit on vitamin D, but we are growing in other areas of Ochlea, is per se going to be hit by the vitamin D decline, but not to the catastrophic levels of that some analysts have predicted. Last, on the long-term plan, I do not want to honestly comment on the LTP. I think it's too early to do so. I think that we already said before that we are going to come back to the market by year-end, looking at the trend in the different market for our business, and then commenting, if needed, on the LTP. So the long-term expectation of business. Keep in mind that we would have anyway to change the plan because of molecular. We need an acquisition of molecular that is giving to our program clearly a different pace, and we need time in order to understand the opportunity. And we would plan anyway by the end of the year to come back to the investor and giving everybody a better insight to our expectation with molecular diagnostic that clearly is increasing because we see more opportunity with this acquisition.
Okay, that's clear. Maybe just a follow-up question, very short, rapid, on the tax rate. So we understood that the first quarter was exceptionally high. What would be the fair assumption for the full year, please?
The difference between our Q1 tax rate last year and this year is 2.7 percentage point, if I remember correctly. Yes. And this is given fundamentally by one-time event, which is the payment of dividend coming from an affiliate to Dinosaur in SPA. And that happened in quarter one. So we expect that in the following quarter, the tax rate will go back to the what is typical for us, which is 37%. 37%.
How much, sorry?
37.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roman.
The next question is from Philippa Gardner of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello there. I've got a couple of questions, if I could, please. Firstly, just on molecular diagnostics, can you maybe just talk a little bit more about your technology and what benefits it might be able to offer over what competitors have at the moment? And I guess I'm also just a little bit confused about what you said regarding not competing with Roche and QIAGEN. So can you just help me to understand what you mean by that? And then just to follow up to the previous questions on the long-term 2015 guidance, and I may have misheard, did you say that you're basically reassessing your guidance because of the molecular diagnostics acquisition that you've made? Thank you.
Philippa, yes, let me take the three questions. First about molecular diagnostics. Molecular diagnostic, as far as technologies, as we said, we have the LAMP amplification technology, which is the technology which compares to the PCR, which is a widely used technology in our space. The reason why we decided from the get-go not to go with the PCR is not because PCR is a bad technology, it's because PCR is an expensive technology. And if you use PCR, I keep saying my mantra is the only one making money at the end of the story is Roche, because you end up paying a royalty stream that kills your P&L. And there are vivid examples of companies, and I believe Cepheid is a good one, where the use of PCR sometimes is not so good for the business. The second, as far as my comment on, as far as LAMP versus PCR, in certain applications, LAMP is better, meaning that allows the development of faster assays. And this is something that we have seen, for example, for oncohematology, which, as you know, is going to be 5 products out of the 12 that we are developing and launching to 12, and is one of the key areas with infectious disease where we intend to invest as far as molecular diagnostic is concerned. But the second element, which is extremely important to me, is that it's a very cheap technology and allows the manufacturing of cheap molecular products. My strong belief is that the molecular space will grow in volume, but as you have seen, the price will decrease significantly. And we expect that from the current range of 30 to 35 euro per test of molecular, in the next 2 to 3 years, we will go down to 15 to 20 euro. So either you have a technology which is intrinsically cheap and allows to manufacture cost products at low cost, or you will not be able to compete and make money in this space going forward. Now, second comment on non-competing with Roche and Qiagen. As I said, Nordion was an extraction company. Now, within the molecular diagnostic space, there is space, as a Qiagen has shown, to sell just extraction either to research labs or to diagnostic labs, especially in the U.S., that having to set up their own homebrew assays, they buy just the extraction from companies, they buy reagents for the amplification, and they put together their own assay. I think some of the market research assigned a value of just extraction of several billion euros. Now, Qiagen is a dominating player in the extraction space. Roche is dominating. We do not intend to develop the Nordic business as an extraction company, which was the mandate that the company had when it was acting alone. We want to use their extraction technology to put it together with our own amplification and design a platform to fully automate and decentralize molecular diagnostic from the big labs to the hospital labs. Something like, I believe, Cepheid has demonstrated it can be done quite successfully. The difference would be that we intend to make money doing that. Last, as far as 2015 is concerned, my comment is I do not intend to review the 2015 expectations for two reasons. First, I would like to go through 2012 and understand some of the fundamental trends of the market. What is very relevant to me, and I think to all of us to understand, is what will happen to the European market per se, that today is deflating. So we see in different countries less testing volume done. And this is a fundamental trend that we need to understand how it evolves. On the positive side, I think that we need to rethink our expectations vis-a-vis molecular, because now we added a very strategic key element to our strategy, and I believe that molecular can represent more than what we expected. So combination of different events will force us by year-end to come back and give new guidelines for 2015, but I'm not prepared to do it now.
Thank you. That's very clear.
Thank you.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead. Mr. Wales, your line is open.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks, Carl. A few questions on Nordiag. I guess firstly, why buy the company rather than license the technology, particularly given that they appear to be about to do some sort of rescue rights issue and clearly were struggling? Secondly, now you own it, I can see why you want the technology, but how much management time will be taking up achieving this 10 to 15 million euros in sales, and I believe they had some cost-cutting plans. It's going to have an adverse effect on your numbers in the short term, bottom line. So let's start with those two, if that's okay.
Okay, Martin. Listen, Why to buy is very simple, because as said, if strategically we wanted to we want to develop a fully integrated system, I want to control the technology, and I just don't want to license it. Second, as I said, if you want to be a player long-term in this space, you need to have all the elements that allow to manufacture cheap products. And in my opinion, the more licenses you add to the process, the less attractive the space becomes, as I think different organizations, different companies out there have already shown. So to me, it was key, and it was an opportunity that presented to us in the last few weeks to buy very cheaply a technology, a very good technology, to be able then to incorporate this technology in our platform, to enjoy tactically sales and margins, which are very hefty in the extraction business, as said, not because we want to become a new key agent for extraction, but because we believe that if these guys, 30 people from Norway, did 4 million, I think that with the sorting infrastructure, we can probably do better than that. And then strategically, again, incorporating their technology in our next generation instrument. Now, cost cutting. Guys, I don't think that we bought General Electric. We bought 18 people. So the original 30 people, 18 moved with us in Norway. And so the amount of cost that we brought in-house is not so significant. And I believe that the fact that we will be able to increase revenues will allow us to put the right leverage on the existing structure and bring back the needed profitability. But again, we are not talking about a big structure, Martin.
You would expect this to potentially neutral to earnings in 2012 and accretive thereafter, and then the real money coming from the next generation platform.
Sorry, Martin, the signal, the line is not that good. Can you just repeat it a little louder?
So you would expect this to be fairly neutral in terms of profitability in 2012, accretive thereafter, but the real value would come from the next generation platform.
That's it. I believe that, we will be neutral probably this year because of increased revenues on the extraction. We will see margin surfacing. But then strategically, I didn't get into this because of margins on extraction. I did it because now we have all the elements to become, in my opinion, a key player in this space.
Okay, and just one more question, a more general question. Obviously, looking at your progression of your revenues across the year, I'm assuming Q2 is going to look fairly similar in terms of revenue and profit decline to Q1 with the pickup in the second half of the year. Given that we're now sort of halfway through May, halfway through the second quarter, and you've reiterated your guidance, can you give us a little bit more color on what's giving you the confidence that we will see that pick up in the second half of the year and going into 2013?
It's a very good question, but as you know, I cannot have a good answer to this because I'm not going to comment on quarter two. However, let me just tell you a couple of things that makes me positive. Italy has an excel. As you know, our base business in UnoSA is going to live and prosper with the success of Liaison Excel. As you have seen now consistently, in the second quarter where we have a good pacing rate, I see where these instruments are going. I see that the original strategy that we explained vis-a-vis a positioning with hepatitis, HIV in the current our microbiology account is working well. I see that in the big labs where we were forced to position the Excel as a high throughput system for vitamin D as a defensive strategy, it is working very well. It is not in this quarter number, but we started the deployment of the Excels with LabCorp. We have concluded the first two big labs, and by August, all LabCorp labs will be completely converted to the Liaison Excel. And just to give you an understanding, the ratio between Liaison and Excel placed is 60%, meaning that every 10 liaison, we were able to place only 6 XLs because of the very large throughput of the XL. So as an instrument that was designed for high throughput accounts, it is performing as we expected. For this reason, I expect that quarter two is going to show a progression vis-a-vis the quarter one. Clearly, as we have discussed many times before, the comparison versus Q1 and Q2 last year is unfair, because in a sense that there were certain unrepeated events, Q1, Q2, that did where we did benefit and have not repeatable or repeated in 2012. But I think that we will see each other in a couple of months discussing this Q2 results.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
The next question is from Andrew Olenow of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I just have a few. First, just to go back to Siemens for a second, you weren't very clear. Do you think there's a chance that you drive additional volumes from Siemens issues? Do you think there's any chance that it will drive an upgrade to your numbers for this year? Or is it a more basic issue, is my first question. My second question is, looking at your EBITDA margin guidance, it is confirmed, but before it was a bit broader of a circle where you're saying it might be somewhere between flat and slightly negative. What happened or what didn't happen that has made you now say more concretely that it will be decreasing by around 200 basis points? Let's start with that, please.
Sorry, let me start with Siemens. Again, I hate just to discuss misfortunes of competitors. At this point, I don't think that Siemens did not leave the business. Siemens just withdrew one lot worldwide. It doesn't mean that they're withdrawing their product, and therefore, tactically, we may enjoy for some backorder days if customers decide to stand out. But in a tangible matter, it is today impossible to say that we will benefit from Siemens. There is an intangible value to this, which is another demonstration to the fact that by assuring equal quality, and some of these big guys, which have outstanding products in on their platforms, are not there yet with vitamin D. And I would leave it there. Now, as far as the EBITDA, as I said, our guidance was a decrease of EBITDA of 200 basis points, which I think that what you have seen in Q1 vis-a-vis not quarter one last year, which was very amazing, as an EBITDA, but not repeatable, but as the average of 2012, which was, if I remember correctly, 43 point something. So, yes, I believe that we will see this deterioration, but I believe that the profitability of this business, as I discussed before, is fundamentally intact.
Okay. And then just two more questions, please. First, on vitamin D, given that we've seen a 40% decrease in vitamin D prices for Sonic in Australia, you'd previously stated that after this year's of vitamin D price hits, you thought that we'd see somewhat stable price development in the U.S. from here on out. Is that something you still feel? Do you still feel after this year's minus 18, minus 20 U.S. hits that we won't see price decreases perhaps from smaller or mid-sized labs? And then last question is around the new products, which I think that everyone's impressed with the R&D you've done in the first half and what's coming in the second half. When do you think we're really going to start to see upside to growth in the underlying CLIA business from these products? Are these more of a 2013 story, do you think? Thank you.
Now, as far as pricing for vitamin D, I don't think that you can use the Sony example as an example. that you can apply worldwide. As I said, Sony to us is a strategic partnership, and we intended to leverage our relationship on vitamin D with Sony to expand our cooperation with these big labs and expanding labs from vitamin D to other product lines. So, again, the negotiation and discussions on vitamin D has many different angles that you will see will surface going forward in 2012, because these did strengthen collaboration with this lab. And so we expect to expand our product line in the Sonic biz, in the Sonic lab with the Liaison XL. As far as the new product contribution, I think that today you are seeing the contribution of products that we have launched in 2011, and whatever we are doing in 2012 is what fueled the growth mid to long term of the company. So as long as we continue to hit the timeline that we have promised, and I'm really proud about the timeline on the stool assays. As I said, as I told you, this is a very strategic area for us. We already have the top two products. Third one, the GDH, will come in December, and that will give us the critical mass to start placement with these products in mid to big size labs. On top of that, we are working with the LAMP on the development of a CDIF product that will complete our line on stool that will be launched next year. So I think we have all the elements to be very successful in this space. But as said, what you see coming out now will have a contribution starting from the following year. Today we are benefiting from HIV, HCV, all these products that were launched last year.
The next question is from Stefan Schumar of Natixis. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello everybody. This is Stefan Schumar from Natixis. I've got three questions. The first one is related to the pricing environment in the U.S. You have mentioned that it's down 18%. How do you see the situation? Do you believe that the situation is stabilizing? What do we have to expect going forward? And my question is also the same on Europe. So what kind of trend do we see there? I've got a second question on research and development, which remain rather under control in Q1. Is it something which is sustainable? I remember that you used to mention to have a research and development around 6%. We are now below this level, so do we have to expect a slight increase just to support new development? And my last question is just on Nordiag. What kind of operating losses do we have to expect on 2012? Thank you.
Yes, Sumar, listen, in terms of pricing, I think that I answered to this question before. 18% is what we have predicted already. I think the last quarter we discussed about this. We said that here there is an acceleration of pricing deterioration because of the effect of competition. So what we had foreseen, what we thought would have happened over 4 years, it is materializing in 12 months. And so we continue to renew contract, we continue to see where the price goes, and we will continue to see a 20% drop through the end of the year until pricing will stabilize to the new level. And it's for the U.S. As far as Europe is concerned, the problem for Europe is not necessarily pricing. The problem for Europe is volume. Because, as I said, volume is lingering. And I've seen results reported by some of the competitors, and if you read well between the lines, you see that, unfortunately, Europe these days is weak for all of us. For us, we have on one side the deflation of volume. On the other side, we have a successful year of Excel. So for the time being, they are balancing. As far as R&D, the expense rate that you see today is the one that we expect to see going forward. We don't intend to increase our staff for research and development. What we have is what we need, as we have demonstrated, to launch effectively all our products. As far as Nordea, to be honest with you, it's a little early because we didn't look too much into this. Nordea, again, we transferred 18 people, 19 people, whatever it is. I don't expect, honestly, to have a negative contribution in 2012. I believe that between volumes picking up and the cost structure, which is very much reduced from what they have, because don't forget that the numbers that they reported included 31 employees. We transfer only 18. That pretty much gives us a neutral business in 2012.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Amy Wilson of Ramsey Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Could you please comment on the increase in days inventory outstanding? I know you mentioned receivables. They were also up significantly. If you could break that out for what was Europe versus ex-Europe, particularly the United States. So maybe inventories first.
You mean inventory or DSO? You may
so maybe talk about days inventory outstanding first, which were 246 days in the first quarter versus 197 a year ago.
Okay. Inventory, the increase of inventory is fundamentally given by all the new products that we are launching. Inventory, in fact, is growing in raw material and intermediates, which are all the products, all the, let me say, the materials that you need to stock when you launch the product. The consequence of a very strong R&D program, as said, this year we will be launching overall 6 liaison products and 12 molecular. The downside of this is that during the development phase, lots of new raw material is produced and stocked in our inventory. So that's the price to pay for this. As far as the receivable, there has been an increasing receivable fundamentally for two reasons, one of which is endemic, unfortunately. The other one has been addressed already in April. The one that is endemic is Spain. Today, Spain is 480 days. Fortunately enough, it looks like that there is a good news for all of us. The Spanish government has recently announced that they have dedicated 35 billion euros to repayment of the suppliers in the healthcare sector. However, there is a condition to this. They will pay all receivables through December 31st, 2011. However, companies that already have initiated legal action against the government has to stop it. You need to give up on interest rates and on legal expenses, which we plan to do. So by in May, you need to register all your receivables with the government, and as of December of this year, everything through to December 2011 will be paid. But unfortunately, today, every month, your receivable in Spain is increasing. The second one, which has been affecting the first quarter, is Brazil. Because of the way the Brazilian government pays, especially these large tenders, they don't pay you until all products have been supplied. And then after the product has been supplied, they verify all the documentation, and then they pay all the outstanding amount, which happened in April. So you will see in the second quarter that the receivable will be positively affected by the fact that all Brazil has been paid back to us in April.
Okay. And could you quantify the benefit to gross margin in the quarter from the increase in your inventory levels?
Really not. I don't think that we have this available right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. On the slide 18, you speak about the entry molecular diagnostic dividing it in two phases, the phase one with two separate instruments, phase two with a unique instrument. Can you add a timeline to the phase two? Is it next year or is it in 7 years? That's the first question. The second one, sorry to bother, is again on Siemens in US. Now we are 2 quarters after the launch of the product. I was wondering if you can share with us the feedback or the feelings that you had from your customers on the quality of the test versus their test. Did you have any customer lost in the past that came back to you switching back to Diasorin, or any hints on that front could be helpful. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, please hold the line. The conference will resume shortly. Thank you.
Yes, sorry.
Mr. Rosa, please go ahead.
Yes, sorry, we were cut out. As far as the phase one and phase two, we are launching the Liaison AM in Q4, as I said. And then when we finish the launch of this new instrument, we will start the development of the second generation system, which, having now access again to the technology coming from Nordiag, and Nordiag not only makes reagents, they also have designed their own extractor. So with this know-how, combining the amplification system we have designed with PSS and the extractor that they have, I think that we will be able to shorten a bit by a bit of a new platform. If I have to bet right now, but again, I think we will be much more specific by year-end when we will present our strategy. I would expect that by the end of 2014, we should be able to be on the market with an integrated system.
Thanks.
The next question is from Lauren Saggio of Zadi. Please go ahead, madam.
It's not a madam, but it's okay. I want to come back to this new product with the LAMP technology. So you're saying the new product, which will include obviously the input of Nordiag, will be launched in 2014. I understand that your business plan is for 2015 for 15 to 20 million euro of turnover. But I'm a little bit puzzled on, because if it's a cheaper technology, a better technology, because of, I think you mentioned in the slides you gave to the press at the beginning of the week, some pretty interesting data, why in a market of 3.4 billion? I should only restrict myself to make 20 million euro sales. Well, what am I missing beyond 2015?
Laurent, this is, I think, is a good observation. As I stated many times before, when we put together our forecast for molecular, we were discounting the fact that we were newcomers to this field. And as you know, I'm a quite conservative person in nature, and I know that it's not easy to come to a market with a new system and make it against the big guys. However, I think that having seen the performance of the LAMP technology, having much more feasibility on the viability of products and quality of products, and now having access also to Nordiag and the know-how, I think the expectations can be reset. However, in order to have a dedicated, an educated discussion on this, I would like to look into the full picture, which means the Nordiag, the extraction opportunity with us, the a reasonable timeline for the introduction of the new platform, and then come back to you and the other investors by the end of 2012 and lay out in front of you what at this point we believe can be the expectation for this.
Okay, so you're just telling me it's early days. You're not telling me it's impossible.
I'm telling you that I am a conservative guy and I want to come in front of you when I have all the elements to justify a number which is different from the one I gave you. However, compared to when we put together the plan last year, now we have better visibility and we now have another key technology. One thing I can confirm to you, we are able to make products cheap. And this to me, as we said and we discussed when we met, is a key element to be competitive in this space. So we will make money with Molecular. That's a fact.
Okay, great. It's obviously a big market, so it's important. It's a big question. The in the second quarter, you know, before you said, you know, obviously you're doing well with Excel. Can you compare with the 92 machine you placed in the first quarter? Can you already say to me how many machines you expect to place in the second quarter of Excel?
I cannot, as you know, I cannot do it.
You cannot say if it's higher than the first quarter?
Since I enjoy my freedom and I really would like to continue to enjoy my freedom, I don't think that I, seriously, I don't think I can do it. I am saying that the Excel is doing good.
Okay.
I expect that the disposal trend will continue, but I need to respect rules and regulations. So
okay. Sorry, I didn't want to push you too much. And the third question I have, and is the last one, you know, I read your communique, you talk a lot, obviously, and it's a big topic about the vitamin D sales development in the first quarter, but I can't find the absolute number. What is the absolute number of testing in vitamin D in the first quarter 2012? The one which is declining, as you say, on comparable basis by 13%.
We never, as you know, we never give our vitamin D number isolated. We always talk about trends.
Okay. So am I correct? It's around 30 million or I'm wrong?
30 million? No. You're not right.
I am not right. So it's higher than 30 million.
You are not right with 30 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead. Mr. Wales, your line is open. The next question is a follow-up from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Just a quick question on Brazilian tender. How much were the revenues per quarter related to the Brazilian tender expected to be resumed in the second quarter? Thank you.
In excess of €1 million.
Thank you.
The next question is from Amy Wilson of Ramsey Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick follow-up. On the last quarter call, you said that you hadn't lost any vitamin D accounts in the United States with the launches of both Siemens and Abbott. Can you comment on whether that's still the case?
I think that in the last conference call, I said that we didn't lose a significant vitamin D customer. I didn't say that in absolute terms we didn't lose any customer, which clearly would be false. We have seen, and I think you are referring to the U.S. now, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have seen in at the beginning of this quarter, we have seen one large account that has moved their testing from our platform to a competitor platform. And the reason was that they have a track system, to fully automated track system provided by the competitor, and therefore, being high routine, they decided to move the front testing into their system. This is what I know so far.
So I'm hearing Abbott is pricing their test at $3 to $4 versus your $7 to $9. Would that be in the right range?
I don't think so. And by the way, I think both ranges are wrong, including ours.
So yours would be higher than $7 to $9?
I'm not commenting on this.
It would be helpful for us to understand this more,
with
both the vitamin D revenue and the pricing.
I understand, but listen, to be honest with you, one of the last interviews that we had, when we are hiring people from the market, and I found very funny that a marketing manager coming from a competitor told me that all the competing information they get from the vitamin D are coming from research written on Diasori. So, in that sense, I do not intend to provide this viable information, including pricing, to my competitors.
Okay, thank you for answering my question.
The next question is from Elisa Corgi of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just two quick questions on my side, please. In terms of Q1 delivery, was it in line with your budget in terms of reported results? And more generally speaking, were business developments in line with your expectations? And, well, perhaps one more question. Did you start some pre-marketing activities in molecular diagnostics? And is it possible to comment on the initial feedback eventually of customers? Thank you.
Quarter one was, in general, in line what we had expected. Clearly, I'm talking about the sum of the parts. There are some geographies where we have been surprised, and mainly in a negative way, and mainly has to do with what I did comment on deflation in certain European countries. There were some positive news coming from other countries. Overall, this is what we pretty much expected to see. As far as the molecular pre-marketing, yes, we are doing clinical studies with our products in hospital settings throughout Europe, and so far so good.
Thank you.
The next question is from Romain Zana of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello again. Just a follow-up question. You mentioned that you should launch about 4 new tests on Liaison Excel this year. I was wondering how this figure can be compared to the run rate you had over the past years, I mean, in terms of new product launches on the platform, just to give us more color.
Well, I think that historically we have been able to develop between 6 to 8 products per year on the Liaison and Liaison Excel. Then clearly it depends on how difficult the products are. When we had to put our resources on HIV and HPV development, be proportionate to a regular assay. The launches are more routine. 6 to 8, I think, is fair enough for Diasori, and it is what we historically.
And do you consider the 2012 launches as rather high market opportunity tests or rather routine tests?
No, I lot of different reasons I consider the product strategic, and let me tell you why. As I said, two of the six are installed, and that is going to be already launched in December. Aldosterone is a key product. We already have the reigning product for hypertension, and we have seen a very strong success of this product. We are in the process of bringing reigning to the U.S. Aldosterone is exactly the same story because it complements reigning. So to every reigning account, we will be able now to sell an aldosterone product. So that's key. And the pricing, there is no competition fundamentally there, and pricing is very high. Measles and mumps are more routine testing, but it's part of a strategy that we have, which is to continue to raise the barrier of entry to our infectious disease customer base. As you know, we have a vast menu in infectious disease, and some assays, the more routine ones, everybody has, but most of the others, nobody has. So we intend to develop to be able to fend everybody off. And the last one is HTLV, which is key because we have launched already four parameters for blood banking, so the B, HIV, the C, and the syphilis, and HTLV parameter that is mandatory in certain countries for blood screening. We already submitted the filing to the CE authorities, and we expect to have the release by year-end. So that's strategic as well.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Laurent Saglio of Zadig. Please go ahead.
Yes, very quickly. You know, when you mentioned this LAMP technology being cheaper than the PCR, we're talking about which order of magnitude in percentage for the same result?
No, sorry. It's, I'm not saying that it is cheaper for the user. It is cheaper for me to manufacture. Because one of the problems with PCR, again, that the cost of manufacturing product is high. Then on top of that, you pay royalties, a whole series of royalties. And at the end of the story, you are left with lean margins unless, again, you reach a certain critical mass or you've been trading off patents and technology with Roche to decrease your royalty rate. This technology is extremely cheap. We can make products with a cost, a manufacturing cost that is very low, and so we are very well positioned to enter into a market where pricing is going to be dictated by customers rather than companies. The second issue, the second positive effect of this technology is that is isothermal, and sorry, I don't want to become get too technical, but when you use a PCR product, you need to run up and down temperature from room temperature to 90 degrees continuously, because this is the way the enzyme of PCR works. So this technology, you work at 60 degrees pretty much, so at constant temperature. And this is very interesting because it simplifies a lot the structure of the instrument that you need to use to run assays on LAMP.
So all in all, I mean, I know it's a rough number, but all in all, it gives you what percentage advantage you compare with not Roche, but Kiagen, for instance?
I don't know what percentage it gives me because I'm talking about my standard cost of manufacturing.
Yes, your capacity to make margin in a market where it's already dominated by big players. Exactly.
Absolutely.
No, I totally understand.
It will allow us a margin which is in line with our existing business. And you know, the profitability of our existing business is extremely good.
Okay. Wow. Well, that sounds good. And the other question I wanted to ask you to make sure, the vitamin D sales, which, you know, I understand you don't want to discuss this number for absolute competitive reasons, but the low part is second quarter 12.
Sorry, Laurent, I didn't understand the question.
The low part in the sales of vitamin D testing is in second quarter 2012, or I misunderstood something?
No, no. I said that the peak was in Q2 2011.
Yes.
Okay. Then I said that since then we saw a decrease in, now let's talk about the U.S., we saw a hit on volume of minus 18%. And then the market stabilized there pretty much. And then we saw an effect of pricing deterioration. I expect to continue to see pricing deterioration throughout in the U.S., throughout 2012.
Okay. So unfortunately, that's for 2013 first quarter as a result, effectively. Yes?
Effectively, the result meaning that you are repositioning pricing throughout 2012. Yes.
Yeah, okay, understood. And in the second quarter, in the first quarter, I noticed in your balance sheet you didn't buy back more shares. You only did it fourth quarter 2011.
The mandate that was given by the board was to just complete a repurchase of a certain amount, which we have completed in last year, and we don't intend for the time being to continue with this.
You don't do. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over. You may disconnect your telephones. Thank you.